This episode of the A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
You know, it really does speak volumes about all the crap that we've all accomplished together. And, you know, like, there's nothing else that I would be prouder to hang in my man cave, you know?
Oh, yeah, that is epic for sure.
Maybe a Minotaur's dick.
With the unicorn's bone sword, yeah.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
Sorry, Jay just agreed with Medina. My head exploded.
Jay Boosh.
Is this what it's like to be a brewer? Because that was exciting.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. I take it all back.
Scotty.
I would really like you to, like, come clean. You just mulligan to land elf sword every single game.
And Medina.
So anyways, I had to leave, obviously, because I'm just not going to sit here and watch chicks get naked when there's trading to be done.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 127 of the A-Team Podcast. Mr. Scotty Mack here, joined by my two lovable co-hosts, Jay motherfucking Boosh, and the silent assassin KYT, back from his globe-trotting trip to Vegas and San Francisco. How are we doing tonight, boys?
Woo!
Woo!
You're doing awesome.
Nice. Well, I just want to make sure that everybody knows that, once again, unofficially, this cast will be brought to you by none other than Innocent Gun, a fantastic set of Scottish brewed beer that is just unbelievably flavored, brewed in small batches, and handcrafted. This one tonight, we are drinking Original, which is a smooth Scottish beer with hints of toffee, vanilla, and oak, carefully matured for 77 days prior to release. Just launched in cans here at the LCBO.
I'm drinking root beer, and it came out of a hose at a McDonald's, and it probably wasn't brewed that long ago. Yeah.
Well, we've got an extremely exciting show lined up for you guys tonight. Jonathan Medina will be joining us a little bit later. He is just way too busy looking at naked chicks to come onto a cast. So we figured, hey, if that's what he's going to tell us, we're not going to argue.
Yeah, we don't know what I'm all breathing heavy on here.
Yeah, yeah. Our understanding is that he started to take in strays.
Oh, right.
So we have to... We've got to make sure that we give the man some time. I mean, when your time is being asked and demanded by, you know, new people in the house, you know, of the female persuasion, you need to give them the appropriate time and attention. Do the right thing, Jonathan Medina. So anyways, I don't know about you guys. Oh my god, it's like I said his name and we summoned him.
Hello.
Oh, there he is! Jonathan Medina, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh man, my Skype is all jacked up. I have to switch my settings. I can hear you through my speakers.
Oh, what a every time, fucking Jonathan Medina.
So, it is Dragon's Maze weekend. Or actually, Dragon's Maze is now legal by the time you can hear this show. We had a pre-release last weekend that I think most or all of us played in, except for maybe KYT.
Right.
John, did you pre-release?
No.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I got blown out for the pre-release, and I haven't really had a lot of time to even look at the set, really, man. I was sorting the set right now because it's like go time, you know what I mean? It's Thursday night. The new set comes out tomorrow, so I have to have all this stuff on the website. I have to pre-orders out. So, like, I'm sorting the set, and, like, for the first time, I'm seeing a lot of these cards, like, to read them, you know? Which is just crazy. So how was your guys' pre-releases?
Mine was amazing. I had like I literally had the best weekend in a very like in the entire year. Like I can honestly tell you that Saturday of pre-release weekend was the best day I've had in a calendar year.
Wow. I mean, I feel crappy now for having not gone to the pre-release.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was absolutely beyond all other measure of stellar fantasticness. Like there's it's just fantastic. So but yeah, I ended up going to Harry T. North. I participated in a morning pre-release.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like a 9 o'clock three rounder. Selected Azorius for my guild because I figure, as we discussed during the show, like there's a lot of deck archetypes that I could end up in by picking that, and I was pretty pleased to be in just about any of them. I ended up getting Simic as my ally.
Wow.
Yeah, so I ended up in a Bant deck, which was fine. I did open up one off-color bomb, which I did kind of splash for, but it was only partially off-color, which was I did get a Verils, the Scar-Striped. So,
oh, okay, yeah.
So I had an Orzhov and a Golgari Guildgate, so I figured that it's basically a free splash for the one black card. Also ran one Orzhov Cluestone. So I figured that, like, off the three sources for the one point of black mana, if I happened to draw this guy, was going to be okay. And
Is he that good?
Well, I mean, basically in this sealed format, like, I kind of felt like you just want to splash all of your bombs. Like, it... And he's a bomb. Like, he's... Yeah. So I was playing in... so like I said, I was in Bant.
Yep.
And I kind of... It was more of a Simic deck with a couple of Bant tricks, to be perfectly honest. Like, I got Voril of the Hulklade, which was interesting. I got Gyre Sage out of my Simic pack as the rare.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
I got Azor's Elecutors as my rare out of the Azorius pack, which is kind of bullshit.
Now, sorry to interrupt, but, like, yeah. I'm not really, like, good at Limited, so it would seem to me, like, Gyre Sage is awesome in Limited. Am I wrong or am I right?
No, he's definitely pretty good. Like, you drop him on turn two, and he can very easily be a Tarmogoyf. Like,
Yeah, because to me, he does both things like limited decks want to do, right? He accelerates you a turn and then also becomes big in the late game.
Yeah. Yeah. So he was actually pretty sweet. I didn't see him as often as I'd like. It was only three rounds. But every time I had him online, like, he was pretty insane. Voril and the Elecutors was actually a really neat little combo where, like, you only have to wait three turns to win with the filibuster combos. So that was pretty sweet. I got two Deputy of Acquittals in my packs, which is really sweet. I did get the Leyline Phantom, which is the 5/5. Whenever it deals combat damage, you return it to your hand. So that was pretty cool. I got a Sky Knight. I got a couple of Evolve guys. I got an Elusive Krasis, which is unblockable. The Shamble Shark, which is Flash of Trample. Cloudfin Raptor, which is the flying Evolve guy, obviously. And a Battering Krasis, which is a new one from Dragon's Maze, which is like an Evolve Trampler, which is actually a really nice, nicely placed at the 3-drop slot on the curve. So he ended up serving me pretty well as well. I got a Keymaster Rogue, which is awesome because he's just, like, unblockable, and then you just pile all of your dead guys on top of him with barrels and just get there. Now, so that...
Is it just Keymaster Rogue is unblockable? Or
yeah, he's a 3-2 unblockable, and he does kind of gate one of your own creatures, though, when he comes into play.
Okay, so you have to bounce something?
Yeah. So that's obnoxious, trying to find the right place for him, and I did actually blow myself out in one game with that, but ended up coming back. But it was pretty good. What's nice about the Keymaster Rogue, though, is I did also have, like I said, two Deputy of Acquittals, which is the Flash guy that bounces a dude, and I did also have the Lev Sky Knight. So, like, ooh. I did have, you know, and, like, I had a couple good targets that were worth bouncing, whether they were to, you know, like, recycle Evolve triggers or other come-to-play abilities. I topped off my curve with a Tristani Summoner, because I got a foil one, and that was, like, honestly living the dream when I was able to... I had a Cloudfin Raptor on the table, like, naked with no counters on it, and I, like, tap out all seven mana, and I go, Tristani Summoner? And I look at my opponent, and he just shakes his head and goes, that's a lot of Evolve triggers, isn't it? I said, yes. Yes, it is. So that was pretty sweet. But the actual...
You were just in love with that card, by the way.
No, it was... Honestly, it was foil. It was a late-game Armina can. Like, it was worth running.
Yeah. Anytime you can play that card, you're all about it. But I do agree that Unlimited seems pretty awesome.
Yeah. So my actual, like, the actual heart of the deck, I did open Lavinia of the Tenth. So she's the Azorius Maze Runner that detains all of your opponent's teams you know, the whole, all of their permanents.
Four or less, or three or
yeah,
less, right?
Four or less. So it shuts down all the clue stones, all the mana fixing, like it does all of that as well. So it's pretty sweet. But I also got a Species Gorger. For those of you playing along at home, this is from Dragon's Maze. It's an uncommon. It's a blue, green, and three for a 6/6. And at the beginning of your upkeep, you return a creature you control to its owner's hand. So I got to live the dream. Game three, round three, final opponent. It's got me down to like 6 life. And I end up assembling Species Gorger and Lavinia the 10th. And I just continue to dome him for 6 every turn, and there's nothing that he can do about it.
Because you're like basically freezing his turn every
turn. Single. It was fucking outstanding. So it was really, really
like,
awesome.
Time walk.
Yeah. One card that I found like was absolutely just the most unbelievable fucking card ever, and I got 2 of them in this pool, is Hidden Strings. Now this is
yeah, that card's good.
Holy God, is this card good? So this
yeah.
is this
yeah,
like
duh,
way overperformed. This
what
is
it?
It's blue one for a sorcery. Okay, when you may tap or untap target permanent, then you may tap or untap another target permanent. It has Cypher.
So basically, check this out, guys. If you guys, when I read this card, I read this actually a couple weeks back, and I was like, this card is sick. Basically, it has Cypher, so you can play it and untap your lands that you played it with.
Yeah.
And so it's like a free Cypher spell that you just put on a creature, and then when you hit them, you can tap 2 things again or untap 2 things.
So you can either ramp, or you can just like tap down all of your opponent's shit. So often what yeah. I did like first turn is I would drop it on a guy, and I would use its ability first to like tap down 2 blockers, and then Cypher it onto the guy, get in with the guy, and then use it to untap the 2 lands and do something absurd in fucking second main phase.
Yeah, that card is a construct. I think that card's constructed playable.
If it were an instant, it would literally be like one of the best cards that they've
printed. I mean, it would be
stupid. The entire 3 sets, right?
You know, I mean, yeah.
So, but it's really, really good. It was very, very, very good.
It's tap or untap target permanents, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can tap their lands too, or you can tap their. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Which did come up when I got it in my second pool a couple times. So
yeah,
it was pretty good. So Jay, so I ended up getting. I went. My first round, I lost to bad mana. I had to make a couple land changes. Like, I had too many islands, not enough planes, like that sort of stuff. So I made those changes and then ended up fucking, like, demolishing my other 2 opponents. It was awesome. Jay, how was your round? Like, talk to me about your pre-release.
Oh, man, it was fucking terrible.
All right, let's just skip Jay.
As expected.
It was. It was just fucking shit. So my like, I 4-0'd. I 4-0'd the Saturday pre-release. Like, I ended up winning the Saturday pre-release. I got, like, 18 packs or something. So that was fine. I can talk about that later. But first, we need to talk about the awesome Midnight pre-release pool and the awesome Midnight pre-release in general. It was fucking terrible. So my pool...
So what? First things first. What guild did you pick?
I picked Selesnya.
Okay, and your partner was what?
Was Simic.
Okay.
So it was like one of the worst that you could get.
Really? But, okay.
But the only one worse than that would have been like Azorius, but whatever. So I open my first Dragon Maze pack and I see a Clue Stone. And I'm like, ah, sweet. Clue Stones are good. Just fix your aid up. Yeah. No problem. Then I move along. Oh, look, another Clue Stone. That's no problem. It's like some ramp there. You got some color fixing. I'm probably going to be playing some 3 colors, right? So you want to have some clue stone density, right? You want to have it. Plus, every pack has a guild gate in it or a dual land or, heaven forbid, Maze's End. So, you know, you're probably doing pretty good. Go to the 3rd card. Fucking clue stone. Oh, sweet. So in my pool on Friday night, I opened 10 clue stones and I opened 7 guild gates.
Wow.
So that was sweet. Yeah. And I opened nothing playable. That was wicked. Like, oh, sorry. I opened 3 of those 6 mana 3/3 flyers that give all your multicolored guys flyers. Yeah. Those are bombs. Not. I opened no removal spells. In my Selesnya Simic packages, out of all 6, I opened 3 white cards.
Oh, God.
And two of them were that really terrible detain spell, where you, like, detain two creatures for three mana or something, or two mana.
Is it the non-sorcery for two mana, Liev Degree?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
No, it's not even worth a card. It's terrible. It might be good in Boros, maybe. Maybe.
Yeah, it probably, yeah. Granted, it was likely not good in your deck, but, like, if you're looking to do, like, major aggressive or just stall, then it's perfectly serviceable.
Well, it's not a good card to stall with. Like, I would actually rather just have the fog that gains you life to equal to the creatures they have. But for aggro, it might be worth a card, but it's not even, like, it's not better than, like, a removal spell or that overload spell that gives all your guys first strike, like.
Sure.
So I had, yeah, so in my Selesnya pool, I had three white cards I opened, so that was really fun. What did I open? I think I opened four guild runners of all different colors. So I opened the Golgari one, which was fine, but I never got to use his ability ever. I opened the Detainer for five, the 4/4 Pro Red Detainer. Mm-hmm. I opened, what are the other ones? I don't even remember because they're good. They're trash. I'm trying to find my pool, but I can't find it. what are the other guild champions or whatever?
Wait, did you get the red-blue one?
Yep, I did.
Did you play the red-blue one?
Nope, fucking sure didn't.
Well, that's why you lost. Hello?
Yep, I'm an idiot. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. so, yeah, so, like, oh, and then I opened, like, a collective blessing. what else? Yeah, so my pool was just fucking wicked, right? And then, so I ended up playing, like, just trash, and I went 2-1-1. So my first match I won because I got super lucky, and I went turn 3 Cluestone, turn 4 Cluestone, turn 5 Collective Blessing, and then I just was unstoppable. And that happened both games. And then in my second match, what happened in my second match? Oh, then in my second match, I played against this guy that was very new. He was very nice. He was from Toronto and Vancouver, maybe. I don't remember his name, unfortunately, because I'm a douche. He was like he was super nice and everything. Super nice guy. But he was one of those people, you know when you're playing against new players, how sometimes, especially in skill games of the mind, like poker, maybe, let's say, and Magic, how sometimes they can, like, just randomly get you because they play erratically. They don't play with, like, any rhyme or reason, right? So, for example, this guy was... We played three games, and he didn't block a single time unless he was going to die, right? and not because he was using his life as a resource, but because he wanted to, like, you know, like, attack with his 1/3 flyer, right? Right? Like, so, which is fine. Like, he's new to Magic-ish. And, like, he doesn't understand, and that's totally fine, right? But then, so I go, like, oh, my God, I need to rip something to fucking get you. I rip the detained person. I play the detained person. I crack him for, like, 9. He's at, like, 7. He untaps. He doesn't attack with any of his guys because they're detained, right? Then I untap, and I'm like, fuck. Right now, I only have a detained guy and, like, I don't know, something like that equals 9 damage on the field. Like maybe the 4/5 death toucher guy, and then like two of those 2/4 shitty gate shitheads. You know those guys. If you have multiple gates, you gain life, or you tap.
The green one for 7 life. Like 7 life is a lot.
7 life is a lot, but I mean, like, I don't know. Like, what are you doing? Like, snapping up gates to play that guy in your deck? Like,
well, like,
the black guy is good. The red guy is marginal. I don't even know what the white one does.
The white one makes a 2/2.
Right. Okay. The blue one does what?
Blue one cycles. Like, he draws a card.
Okay. Yeah.
But I mean, like, a 2/4 is fine. Like,
they're not even. Yeah. They're just fine.
Well, I mean, okay. So granted, but like, clearly it's going to do more for you in terms of defense. But like, even if you're just playing a 2/4 for 4, you're perfectly happy to do that against like Boros or fucking Rakdos, because like it's probably going to trade up like.
Yeah, but I would rather. I would rather just play like the 1/3s. For the same benefit, right?
No, I'm obviously.
Like, but, that's, I just mean, like, they're fine, but I wouldn't take them high is all I'm saying.
No, I agree. But, like, if you're looking for playables in a seal pool, they're perfectly serviceable.
Yeah. So then So then I attack for now, whatever. So then his guys are all detained, but now it's my turn, so they're not detained anymore. So then I attack with everything, and he, I don't know, like, minuses one of my guys to go to, like, I don't know, like, one or something. But he doesn't block a single thing. He has no blocks. And I'm, like, he can kill me already. Like, he just does no blocks. He goes to attack. I'm like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. Like, take my damage, go to three. And then he's like, yeah, he's at five. He's like, go. I untap. I attack with a 4-5 death toucher. And, like, a 2-2 something. He blocks the death toucher. He takes two. He goes to one. He has, like, five guys on the table at this point. He's not blocking. He's just not fucking blocking. I play two guys from my hand so that I can have blockers and live. And then, and he has, like, a 1-3 flyer that he hasn't been doing anything with all game. He attacks me with everything. I block everything, his 1-3 flyer, and then he blood rushes the 1-3 flyer.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and I die. And then, like, and in the game that I won, he didn't do that. He didn't do anything. He didn't block. He didn't do. He fucking didn't ever. That was. It was the first time he'd ever blocked ever. And, like, not that I expected him to just die and not block, but I didn't expect him to go to one for no reason. Like, yeah. Especially when you have a blood rush flying guy, like, you don't need to hang on to fucking anything. Like, you know, you could just attack me with the one flyer. You could have blocked my other guy. What if I blood rushed him and you lost? Fuck. So I lost that. Then in round three, I get paired up with my friend Cass, who is very good, and we decide we're just going to draw, because if you go 2-1-1, you get at least some prizing, but if you go X2, you get no prizing. So one of us would be knocked out, probably me, which I wouldn't, whatever, I would have just left, who fucking cares. It took them like 7 hours to run a fucking 4-round midnight pre-release. And then, which is fine. Like, I'm sure there was some excuse for that. Like, I'm sure, right? Like, that's fine. Like, tournaments are hard to organize and everything. But, I mean, there's some criticisms I could lay down about stuff that, like, there should be no excuse for. But, so anyway, so I was tired and cranky that my pool sucked and that this tournament was taking forever. And, so we just drew. And then in the last round, I ended up beating a guy that had literally never played Magic before, but opened a really good pool and was fine. Yeah, and that was my pre-release. Like, I opened a foil Taysa I didn't play, and that was the highlight.
Wow. Sounds amazing.
Yeah, like...
Well, I hate to cash in on your low experience here, but I after I did my morning pre-release, I got to gunsling all day. And so, like, as the gunslinger, I basically was afforded the luxury of being able to pick both sides of my guild pack.
Right. That's pretty good.
It was pretty sweet. So I sat down early against, like, early next to Seth Black, Seth Black 53 on Twitter. Anyways, he's a notable Toronto grinder and judge and stuff. So really good guy, big supporter of the show.
Is he a judge?
Yeah, he is.
What level?
I don't know. One?
Two? Yeah. He seems pretty good, and Nina holds him in high regard, but I didn't realize he was a judge.
Like, yeah.
Judges are not good at Magic. They're bad. So,
so I watched him pick...
Here comes the hate.
That's right. So he picked Izzet round one, and, like, the round one, remember, was the round that I got ranched by having no mana, so I basically got to, like, sit while my opponent dirtled, and I wasn't able to do anything about it, so I watched more of his match than my own. And, like, Izzet has some pretty sweet cards. Like, they got some pretty sweet ones in Dragon's Maze. You know, they got some... There's some pretty good ones in the, like, removal and, like, Trixie spells and stuff. So I figured, like, so long as I was able to combine Izzet with, like, a good guild full of bodies, I could probably do okay. And I mean, like, I'm gunslinging. I can't sideboard. Like, it's just, like, one game shots, right?
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, right, yeah. Right.
So I'm like, okay, well, I'll tell you what. Like, I'll just take Izzet and Boros. Like, that way I can play, like, Boros is fairly aggressive, I may get some burn, but it could have some removal, and it could have some good guys, and, like, God forbid I open Aurelia. Like, this could be absurd. So, sure enough, that's what I go. And I literally opened the most absurd pool in my entire life. Like, this could have been a PTQ, and it would have been fucking unreal. My rare for my Izzet deck is Cyclonic Rift.
Okay.
Which is not excellent, but Cyclonic Rift itself is still an absurd card. My rare for my Boros deck is Spark Trooper. So I'm a little bit concerned that, you know, I may be into it here. I got a Fortress Cyclops, which is red, white, 3 for a 3-3 out of my Boros pack. And whenever he attacks, he becomes a 6-3. And whenever he blocks, he becomes a 3-6.
Yeah.
So he's actually, like, really good, right? Like, he's doing everything that I want to do, I think, and just, like, stall and then beat. I get a Guardian of the Gateless as well on my Boros pack, which is, like, really, really good. That's the 3-3 flyer that blocks any number of creatures. I got a Staticaster in my Izzet pack with a Goblin Electromancer, which is okay. I got a Halberdiers also out of my Boros pack. Essence Backlash out of Izzet. And then also an Angelic Edict out of the Boros pack. So, like, I got a pretty good amount of removal. I got some pretty good guys. So then I start to open up my Dragon's Maze packs. And so I get a Rurikthar.
Nice.
The Unbowed. And then I get a Taysa, Envoy of Ghosts. And then I open some flyers. And then I open Ralzeric.
Nice.
I'm like, well, I guess I'm playing five color bombs since I had like six Guild Gates and four Clue Stones that I could use to splash these off color bombs. And like, it was absolutely just the most absurd thing ever. Like, I had so much fun. It was stupid. I had a Puppet Strings again. Like, my creature base, I had a Deputy of Acquittals. I had an Assault Griffin. I had the Snare Squad, which is actually really good. The 1-4. So he's 2 and a white. He's a 1-4. Whenever he attacks, you may pay 1 white if you do tap target creature and opponent controls. So, like, he does a really good job of, like, holding down defense, and then as soon as you get one of your bombs on board, you just swing with him, tap the biggest guy, and they get ranched. Like, it's awesome.
Oh, man, I hate that word, ranched.
Sorry.
Ranched.
Yeah. I had Far and Away in my pool as well. I had Punished the Enemy, which is the 5 casting cost, 3 damage Searing Spear. What is it? Searing Blaze? So it's, like, 3 damage target player and 3 damage target creature. I had the Decree, which worked out fairly well in this deck, Jay, because I was basically looking to stall. And it did a pretty good job of doing that. Staticaster was really, really good, and also with Ralzeric. So I did get to ultimate Ralzeric in one of my matches.
Nice.
And I took 3 out of 5 extra turns.
Sweet.
And it was awesome. Like,
did you win?
Of course I won. Like, of course you... Like, how do you not win after 3 extra turns if you actually get to ultimate a Planeswalker? Like, you have to consider a game state where you actually are able to get Ralzeric up to ultimate. And if you can't win after that board state with, like, 3 extra turns, you're just bad. Like, you're just bad at Magic.
Yeah, that's why I asked.
Yeah, no, I got that. So it was amazing. It was just so funny to, like, to sit there and watch people, like, as I'm playing against. And by the way, everybody that came and played against me at Gunslinging was amazing. I had so much fun. You guys made me feel so welcome at the event. Like, I told Kelly afterwards, I'm like, I can't wait to do this again. Like, this will be outstanding. So, special shout out also to Randy, who just is such a huge fan of the show, was so, yeah, Randy Legendre, he was such an amazing fan of the show, really cool dude, and was just so thankful that we were there. So he sent me, like, the most amazing comment on Facebook, and, like, I just wanted to make sure that I gave him, like, an extra special shout-out, because it was a really pleasurable experience, you know, seeing him there and hearing his kind words about us and the work we do. So it was pretty sweet. But yeah, I had, like, so much fun, and everybody was just, like, pissing and moaning and, like, watching these 5-color bombs, and I just, like, was drawing always my Clue Stones on time, and, like, the mana was always perfect. Like, it was just so funny. So, and Durf was there. I ended up getting my Korean Primordial in hand, so which is, like, totally awesome. I posted a picture of it on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it looks fucking baller.
I'm going to go look at that right now.
Yeah, you should. It's pretty sweet. And yeah, like, literally, it was just unreal. It was unreal. I'm a huge fan of this limited format with Dragon's Maze, because Dragon's Maze brings, like, the most crazy-ass cards. I can only imagine what draft is actually going to be like with all 3 of the guilds. Like, because you have to consider so many forward-thinking picks, like, because Return to Ravnica is last, right? Like, did any of you guys draft during the first Ravnica block?
No.
KYT?
I definitely drafted.
Yeah. So like, how did that work? Because like that one worked from first set to last set, right? Because they only switched it recently. So like, what happened if you were decidedly into one of the guilds from the last two sets?
Man, I'm getting confused because I actually drafted this format once this week. So tell us
about that then. Tell us about that.
That was very interesting because, as you mentioned, I didn't know what to do, what my plan was, because, like you said, the first pack, you have, like, all these good cards, and all of them are monocolored, and then later on, so my experience ended up, I opened up the most powerful card in the format in my last pack, but I wasn't in black, so I opened Pack Rat there, and I'm like, fuck!
You just took it, though, right? You didn't...
I still took it, because...
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Because one of those cards that it's not just a bomb, it's basically auto win. And like, if you want a chance to, if your goal is in the pod, you gotta hate that card.
Not to mention that like, it's one black to just basically like just win all the games. So why would you not take it and just try to splash it at least even?
Right, right.
I guess when it comes in Return to Ravnica though, like there's not a lot of splash room. Like you almost have to, like I'm wondering what the implications of having all of the really heavy duty mana fixing being at the beginning of the draft, like all of your clue stones and everything are right
up
at the front.
You just take them. Like clue stones aren't super high picks, but guild gates definitely are.
I ended up with like the J problem where my pool ended up with like at least four clue stones. And I'm like, fuck, because I'm not going to play all four. But it was interesting to try to keep open because the more powerful cards are, well, in my opinion, the multicolored cards. Later on that you do get because you do want to be able to hit if like the two guys next to you are not in those guilds, then you're just gonna slam all the Orzhov
bombs.
Right So I was getting past a lot of good Azorius from my right in the last pack. I mean, I got a late Righteous Authority which I think is more than a fine card, and it was very interesting. Hopefully, I will have to draft more, but it seemed like I just hope to not be in the same guild as the guy to my right, but it being Dragon's Maze and it being so many colors, I try to stay as open as possible.
But, yeah, like, what you do in pack 1 is you just draft as many clue stones and... I mean, not clue stones, guild gates, and then, like, powerful multicolor cards as you can. And then you just try to stay open or triple colored as much as you can,
right?
And you want
to triple colored
and I think what you want to do too is like you want to have a guild in Gatecrash in mind that you're drafting into, and then you want to help that guild with Ravnica cards, Return to Ravnica cards, instead of the other way around. Because, like, what happens is, like, if you're drafting Rakdos in pack 1, and then you fucking get into Gatecrash, what are you drafting? What cards are you getting?
The good side of Boros?
Yeah, like, sweet. You're getting, like Bomber Cores and shit? Like, you know what I mean? So
I don't know. Probably Madcap skills, right?
Maybe, but, like, the guy that drafted Boros in pack 1 is going to take those Madcap skills.
Well, no, But that's going to be like the Data Doomblade. Obviously, those are the cards that you're looking to pick up, right? Like, you're looking to pick up the aggressive red ones. I mean, there's probably nothing wrong also with picking up the aggressive... Like, in that case, if you are in Rakdos, as you said, like, there's nothing wrong also with picking up the aggressive Dimir guys, because there are some guys in Dimir that, like, have decent evasion and, like, come down early enough that are pretty good.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, you don't want to be drafting... You don't want to be drafting, like, a fucking Rakdos deck. In pack 3.
No, not in pack 3, but if you
in pack 1. You don't want to be drafting a Rakdos deck. Right? Does that make sense to you?
Which is it? Is it pack 3 or pack 1?
Yeah, no, it's pack 1.
Because I'm getting confused and I don't know what
It's because pack 1 is the third set. So I'm trying to say, in Dragon Maze, don't draft Return to Ravnica guilds.
Why not?
Because you're not going to get any support for them when you go into pack 2. Right? Like, let's say that I'm sitting beside KYT, right?
Yep.
And KYT is drafting Rakdos, and I'm drafting Boros.
KYT's an idiot.
Exactly. Then we get into Gate Crash, right? Uh-huh, and all uh-huh. of the Boros cards, I'm able to grab and splash some, maybe either aggro Dimir cards, maybe aggro Rakdos cards, maybe aggro Selesnya cards, right? Like I'm basically drafting a two color deck and then I'm splashing, right? Yeah. Whereas he basically has a two color deck that he is now trying to salvage, right? He's now left with a pile of cards that he has no support for this pack.
Because and the guild then support, pack... let me just try to like understand this. Because the guild support isn't in pack two.
Right.
So basically he's just basically getting red and black cards. He's not getting like Rakdos cards.
Exactly, right? And then in pack three, he's going to open and try to fight for some Rakdos cards. But like, is that going to be enough? Is he gonna have like an unplayable pile of shit because he basically missed all of pack two? Like, when you're drafting, I don't know. Like, I know you guys don't draft very often, but KYT does. So maybe he can relate to this and tell me if I'm full of shit or not. But when you're drafting and you have a really shitty pack two, it doesn't matter how good pack three is. You're fucked.
So what you're saying is like actually, pack two is much more important than pack one.
Absolutely.
In drafting.
Okay, but.
No, I think he means, okay, it's confusing, because I think he means more important in pack three. That's what I thought.
See, because this is where I'm at. Like, if you, okay, so well, you should well, be able, hold on, John. So you should be able to interpret the signals that are coming into you from both ends, right? Like very obviously, if you're sitting next to KYT, and you are drafting Boros, there's no way in his right mind he's going to be able to realize that he can justifiably stay in Rakdos.
No, that's not true at all. What if I'm drafting red-white cards and white cards and some red cards, and he's getting other good red cards?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. It's a multicolor too, right? Block. Did you guys draft Alara at all? It's fucking multi... It's all multicolor. Everything's multicolor. So signals are very difficult to read in a format like that. Which is why you should be, like, just... Like, it's not like a hard and fast rule. It's a suggestion to people that probably need more help than not, that they should be focusing, when you're drafting your first pack, you should be focusing on a color combination that will be more beneficial for you to get in pack two, in your follow-up pack, than drafting something that you may or may not open and get cards for later in two packs, right?
Well, here's what I'm, like, questioning right now. Because I don't know anything about this. I don't know shit about drafting, okay? So the question here is, you have two packs. Well, I guess either way, you have two packs that support the guild that you want, right? Because, like, if you pick Rakdos, right, then you have the first pack, right? And then you have the third pack to support it. And then if you pick, like, Boros, you have the first pack and the second pack, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, like, you still have two packs to support your guild. Why is that?
But you don't have those two packs. You don't know what you're opening in pack three, right? And you don't know that if you what you're drafting in pack one will correspond with what's in pack three. Like, you don't know you're going to be able to pick that up.
How do you know that it will correspond in pack two? Like,
Because in pack two, everybody's more open than they are in pack three. And in pack two, you're drafting with your brain, and so you're drafting with things that are probably going to come up.
Okay, but in this format, though, like you said, it's multicolor. Like, I mean, you asked, did anyone draft during Alara block? Like, you're running a three-color deck in this format. Like, right. you're not running just
so
a
why
Boros
would you,
deck.
So why would you pick a two-color combination that goes well together before you're even in the pack that's going to get that two-color combination?
No, I think you're establishing what your two guilds that you're straddling are. In pack one, right? Like, and then you're looking to try to stay within those two guilds, and whether or not that's fine. But like, there's nothing wrong with picking, you know, looking for Rakdos Boros, for example. Like, you're sharing a color, you're straddling the red color. Like, why is that bad? You can pick up all the bombs in the Rakdos end in pack three. You're picking Boros cards in pack two. Like, where's the problem?
Yeah, I'm just trying to understand from like a learning perspective. But I guess what the thing that I guess was most impressionable for me is that you're saying that people are more open in pack two, so you have more options.
Right. Like, what if you draft a Rakdos deck and then you don't get any Rakdos cards in pack two because people are drafting Dimir, Orzhov, Boros, and whatever the other red guild is in that fucking set? So now you have to switch to like Selesnya Gruul or something, right? But you have a bunch of what? Fucking black cards you picked that you're not gonna. And then what happens in pack three when you open a bunch of Rakdos cards and you're like, ooh,
yeah.
Well, I was kind of Selesnya, but like in pack one I was kind of Rakdos. So like maybe I'll switch back into Rakdos, and then you have an unplayable pile of shit because you waffled for three fucking packs.
Right. It seems like the
idea here is not waffling. It's not necessarily don't pick Rakdos, right?
It's not the idea at all.
I think what I'm getting out of it and what I agree with is that you shouldn't be centralizing a strategy or drafting on a guild that's from Return to Ravnica.
Right.
But it doesn't mean I agree with, like, you're both on the same page, and I agree with Scott that, you know, it could be it's one of your guilds that is just part of the two guilds that you're focused on, but you don't want to be 100%, like 80% interactive.
To use that example, in pack one, if you're set to continue using this Boros Rakdos example, if you're set on that because you're a bad drafter and you're getting set on something in pack one,
maybe you get a bomb. Maybe you open a bomb that sits in one of those colors.
Super irrelevant.
No,
I've drafted like a bomb before, and then not played it in my deck because the colors aren't open. You just were talking about reading signals. You don't fucking stay dedicated to your bomb if the signals don't indicate that. So anyway, let's say that for some reason in pack one you're dedicated to this fucking Rakdos Boros idea. So what I'm saying then is you should be mainly focusing on Boros, and then if there are bomb Rakdos cards that are going to go with Boros 100%, then and there's not a better already card in the pack for you, then go with that. Otherwise, do not go with that.
Okay, and what KYT said is that basically you want to pick like two guilds and kind of just like pick up cards from each and not to like focus in on one guild, right?
And obviously the guilds have to connect. Like, you can't pick, like, Selesnya Dimir and go, like, yeah, I'm all in!
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's not obvious, but to me that was obvious. But, okay, so the question is then, is that just the thing? You just don't want to pick the two guilds that don't... Like, maybe you want to pick Boros and Rakdos, right? Those connect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, so, like...
It's possible.
So maybe you want to pick Boros and Rakdos. It doesn't mean never pick Rakdos. It just means... have two options. Am I getting that right, or is that...
That's what I'm saying. So,
and Jay seems to be saying, like, just don't...
I think he's just saying, well, for me, it's like, it's just safer to not have to decide your main... Because one of your two guilds is going to be your main guild, and the second one is sort of your splash, so you don't want your main guild to be decided in the last pack, and you're scrambling... for playables, because it will happen where you're just going to draft like 20 and you're missing like 2-3 cards. So it's happened to me many times before in many drafts in other formats.
So the development, the stages of development is what's important here, because as you're developing, like, I see what you're saying by you don't know what you're going to open in pack three.
Right.
Because then I thought, well, you don't know what you're going to open in pack two, so why would you, you know? But the thing is that you have more opportunities to pick cards that are going to be good for your deck if you stay open for pack two and three.
Right. Not to mention that if you are going into pack two thinking, okay, I've got some good black cards, I've got some good red cards, and I've got some good white cards, so I'm going to play some fucking Boros Rakdos shit, and then in pack two, you're not the guy getting the Boros cards, right? Mm-hmm. You're the guy that got hooked out of Boros. Now, instead of you having a bunch of red and black cards that you may or may not be able to play with, depending on how you get hooked out, you can make an educated decision and go Simic, potentially, right? And then you can go with your white cards from Boros, for example, you could go Simic into, like, Selesnya. Or you could go instead of Simic, you could go Gruul, because, you know, you keep your red cards from that. Whereas, like, if you're thinking, like, man, this card would be so good when I get all the Rakdos cards in two packs from now. That's the same as being, like, man, this sealed deck is going to be good in two more tournaments. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you're closing your options for pack two to be more narrow.
Yeah, plus mentally, you're getting it into your head that you're going to draft this sweet Boros Rakdos deck.
And then you're overvaluing cards that are probably not the greatest in deck 3 because you need to be Rakdos.
Man, so I'm loving Student Medina. I'm loving Student Medina.
Man, I'm gonna take some of these. I'm gonna take some of these. I'm gonna cut black because I'm gonna go Rakdos because my black red cards are like I'm getting all the black red cards. How do you beat me, motherfuckers? And then you get cut out of Rakdos in pack 3, and now you have like a Simic deck splashing black, sweet deck.
Yeah,
right. Like,
you know what, Jay? You are so much more effective at your explanations when you're not just telling me I'm an idiot.
I didn't tell you you were an idiot.
Just fucking with you. But no, this is actually really, really good. When you made the point about, you know, needing potentially to make a swing out, like if you've been drafting a core color, right? Like if you're, for example, right? Like you said, I'm in Dragon's Mace, I'm in Simic, whatever. I end up getting down there, and all of a sudden I realize that in Pack 2, I should be in Gruul because I'm getting cut out of all of the good Simic cards, but I still have these good green cards that I want to play, and you carry that through. Like, that makes a hell of a lot more sense when you consider, you know, drafting down the axis and the reach of one of the colors, right? Like, you can follow the color web down from Pack 3 to Pack 1. That's awesome.
Yeah.
John, I do want to add that... It's always a challenge to there's like a point where you want to be open and commit. And it's for me, it's always been a challenge to know exactly when that point is, because, for example, in my draft this week, I drafted with Alex and John Stern, the seven of us.
I was just going to say, Mr. Important.
Seven of us had like three color decks. And that the one guy who like probably kept himself way too open for too long ended up with a five color deck and proceeded to 0-2 and, you know, ended up beating Frank in the last round. though Frank's deck was pretty damn good, but five color garbage that didn't have a chance.
My sealed pool, right? Like 10 clue stones and seven.
Guild gates,
and people are like, "Oh man, sweet! You can play whatever you want." And it's like, yeah, if I had anything I wanted to play.
So it is hard to find that point, and it was a lot easier if Return of Ravnica was pack one because
I
could play Gatekeeper Vine or Axebane Guardian, and then just go five color crazy that way.
Yeah.
But with Clue Stones is a lot more restrictive, and it's just, I mean, are you getting the right guild gates for that bomb that you might be picking later? So my friend Robert, who ended up with a five-color piece of shit, you know, deck because he didn't commit at the right time or just didn't know where he was at. So that's always a huge challenge.
So the challenge is like figuring out if you have the makings of a good deck to commit to it, like figuring out like if you have enough to get there through the next X cards that you're going to look at, mm-hmm. right? Because if you commit too early, then you can just fall off, and then if you know, commit too late, then you're probably just too spread out by just picking out like the five color mess deck.
Yeah.
Man, it's so much harder in these multicolor sets, huh?
It is. And I fucked up the timing for this one. I was short like 2-3 cards in my Bant deck that I drafted. So it's tough. Especially if you have people that don't know.
This is serious business, man. This is hardcore.
Especially if you don't know what they're doing. But usually, to answer Jay's other questions, but sometimes, even if I get fucked in pack two, if I knew for a fact with a guy to my... And I'm not sure this applies in this less in a multicolored set, but if I know for a fact what the pack one guy was passing me, usually, like pack three, I'm just getting gifts, like insane late picks to make up for it, but sometimes I don't, and obviously I get like bone in pack two and like trying to like dig out of a hole in pack three, and that's not a good place to be at. But if in pack one I get really late, like a green card that's like, what the fuck, why is this even there, then it's a hint.
And this whole signaling that you're talking about is basically you have to know like how valuable these cards are in order to get the signal, right? Because, like, if you don't know that, like, an Axebane Guardian is, like, you know, like, X pick, and, like, if you're doing, like, if Return of Ravnica is pack one, right? And what is Axebane Guardian, like, for, like, a pick in Return of Ravnica, if you're going Return of Ravnica first?
Like, just Return of Ravnica, or in this format?
Just Return. Just Return
like,
to Ravnica.
Like triple Return to Ravnica?
Yeah.
I don't know, like he's, I don't know, like maybe five, maybe six.
Okay, so.
Maybe a little bit less. I guess it depends on what your other picks were, maybe. I wouldn't pick him first, I don't think.
I think I've picked him like as high as 3 to 4, I think. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so the value, you knowing that Axe Vanguardian is like between 3 and 5, if you get that in like a, you know, pick 8, then you know that green is open? Is that what you're saying?
Right, right. Unless the guy to your right, unless you think the people to your right are idiots, then it's hard, because then you have to like, you hope they have the same, like,
same skills as you, right? Like, otherwise, what if they're just drafting like Crown Ceratoc instead of that? And they have like 10 Crown Ceratocs in their deck because they're like, green creatures are the best creature. You know what I mean? Like,
so it like, has to like do with
pick,
two things.
Pick orders actually like are just like totally useless if you don't know how to draft. Then they don't mean anything.
Then how do you get signals? Like, you're talking about signals usually, in every draft.
Or for right? me, John, usually that's right. Like, I've drafted before. I don't know if it's M13 or whatever. I will get really late prey upons or elves that are just like shouldn't be, you know, available that late. And sure enough, mm-hmm. pack 3, I get past all the green that I could ever need. So, yeah. uh-huh. you know, that does happen.
Okay, so it's basically when you're saying signals, you're picking up on these, A, like the pick orders and like in relation to the skill level of the people you're
playing. So like as an example, like when I cube drafted at the WMCQ the other day, or like a couple weeks ago or whatever, mm-hmm. Like I had in a pack Figure of Destiny and Lightning Helix. So I mm-hmm. took the Figure because I needed a guy, and Lightning Helix wheeled. Like, that tells you Boros is open.
Right.
Because there's if anybody was playing any combination of white and red, Lightning Helix will not come back to you. right? So
yeah,
that,
like,
yeah, then
like
why didn't you pick it then, like, Scott?
So, because like, no, because Figure of Destiny was the better creature.
Yeah, and like the way that pick orders work or pick like all that stuff works, it's just a like a rough indication of mm-hmm. what's open based, and that's based on how good the card is.
Holy
and
shit,
it's and
man.
It's not and it's not getting picked, right? Like yeah. if I open a pack and it's pack 1 pick 1, like your pick order is like generally is like, is your rare a super bomb? No. Is your removal good, or is your other card like a super bomb? Like, I don't know what a non-rare bomb is in this format, but like, you know, if you open like a mugging, right?
Yeah.
Like mugging is a good card to pick. But if somebody passed that, right, to you, mm-hmm. then it's not so much like, what are you doing? This guy must be a fucking moron because obviously mugging is a first pick, idiot. It's like, no, like maybe he opened the fucking, an Aurelia, right? Yeah. Maybe he, like, so pick order is only relevant for you personally to deduce like multiple things, but uh-huh. the main one is, what's open based on how good are the cards in my pack that are not being taken, right? Not mm-hmm. so much of like pick order. Like, people always say, like, what's the pick? Is it mugging, or is it Domri Raid? Is it this Figure of Destiny, or is it this Lightning Helix, right? But yeah. in vacuums, those don't make any sense. Those aren't yeah. valid points to pick, right? Like uh-huh. because, but if you say something like it's pack 1, pick 8, and there's this card in the pack and this card in the pack, like, obviously this is open, but I'm only going to get one of these because it's not going to come back. So mm-hmm. what XYZ do you think then? That's more relevant to me or to most people than, say, what pack 1, pick 1 would you pick out of this pack? Yeah, because okay. pack 1, pick 1 generally has very clear and open things, right? Like, it, yeah. like pack 1, pick 1 exercises are good for new players who don't understand the power level of certain cards. Like, they don't understand why mugging is a first pick, right? They're just like, whatever, that's just a shock. Like, I'll get it again later, or like, I'll take this fucking powerful creature instead of a 2-damage spell. Who gives a fuck about those, right?
Yeah.
But like, so pack 1, pick 1 is about stuff like that, or pack 1, pick 2 is about that kind of stuff, right? Or, you know, I'm deep into Boros. What's your pack 2, pick 1? Those are for like people that don't understand how powerful cards are on their own in general. But if they're not generally for things like being useful for when you're actually drafting and you need to know quote-unquote signals.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to understand the signals thing. The pack, you also said that it was very interesting to me about the pack, like, the pick order, right? Because, like, I always assumed that the pick order would be in relation to the deck you're trying to build.
Yeah.
But you said it should be in relation to what is open and what is powerful. You know what I mean? So, like, that's probably one of the places that I would make a bad decision in drafting, because I would be trying to draft a certain deck instead of just drafting cards that... Drafting to the point, like, what it sounds like to me, what I should do is, like, draft the cards that are powerful and in the colors that I think are open until I'm ready to commit.
Yeah, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, and then that's not what I would do. That's typically what I would do is just start to draft. I'd find, like, a Bonnie card or something. I'd be like, okay, I'm taking this. And then since I got that Bonnie card, I'm going to now take this. And then in my mind, I would think, oh, well, what's the pick order of these cards, you know, versus what I have in my deck? You know what I mean? Which is the total wrong way to look at it.
It's not that it's totally wrong. The problem that you get hooked into stuff like that, though, is, like, you get hooked behind your rears. Like what Scott said, what if you opened a bomb? Well, like, so fucking what? You open a bomb, and then you see a pack that has a shitty red card in it, a shitty black card in it, and then amazing white and green cards in it. And you go, oh, I opened a Rakdos bomb. Like that, they just doesn't like, and people do that, right? Like, people actually gets, I get that. I get stuck behind that shit all the time, right? And the problem is, like, when you, like, the problem with drafting comes generally when you're waffling between packs and you're not making decisions, but you're drafting based on what you've already drafted, like, as the only factor that you're taking into account, right? When it should actually be one of many factors that you're taking into account. Because, like, it matters. Like, if people are passing really powerful red cards, but you're, you know, in like Simic, well, maybe then, you know, if it's early enough, maybe you can start kind of switching into Gruul / Simic or Simic / Gruul because, you know, because, like, it's open, you know, it's open, right? Whereas, like, you know, if you're just drafting based on I'm drafting Rakdos and that's what I'm drafting and Rakdos is mine and I'm Rakdos, then you're going to get hooked into things where you're going to have, you know, you're going to get a pack that has no good Rakdos cards in it. And what do? Waste a pick?
Yeah.
And you're going to, and that's not going to happen one time. That's going to happen like 10 times. And now what you have is a mediocre Rakdos deck because you needed those, a really good example of this is the Simic deck. So Simic was, a lot of people were calling Simic like the worst color from the pre-release from Sealed. And it actually, I think it like, I mean, Sealed is really random, so who knows. But in my experience and what I saw at 5 pre-releases that I went to, Simic was absolutely, Simic was like, Simic and Dimir were like unplayable piles of shit in Sealed because you don't have the opportunity to build your deck, and Simic is a deck Simic is a deck that needs you to be paying attention to almost every pick. Like you need to be building your deck to evolve. And if you're not doing that, if you're just taking good Simic colored cards, then like what's going to end up happening is you're just going to have a deck where you're never going to evolve any of your things. All of your guys are going to be at most 2 power or 3 power. Like, you're not aggro. You're not going to be beating down. You're just basically going to have a bunch of mediocre bears, like 2/2s for 2 or 3, right? And then what are you doing? Like, then you're losing. Then you're not doing anything, right? Yeah,
the Simic deck, you have to consider, like, not only just the curve of your creatures and where they're going to land, but also then what's the inherent power and toughness of them and how are they going to evolve the guys that you've already played, right?
Exactly,
so,
right?
So, like, there's so many other dimensions that you have to consider.
Like, with Simic, and it's not that there's more dimensions, it's just that they're different and we're not used to them. But, like, with Simic, for example, there's a lot of stuff where, like, I ended up cutting, like, certain cards out of my deck or I ended up not drafting it and switching colors or whatever because of things like, well, these guys are never going to be higher than a 2/2 because I don't have anything bigger than a 2/2, and so they're not going to evolve more than once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So why am I playing them? Why am I drafting those? Why am I, you know what I mean? That's where that becomes, right? Whereas, like, something like Rakdos, let's say, or Boros, where you're just playing aggro, that has decisions like that too, where you have to say, like, well, am I going to play these 3 5-drops in my Boros deck? No, I'm cutting them, right? Mm-hmm. And that's a tough thing to do. This is a bomb or whatever, right? But like, those are tough decisions people have to make, right? But they're easier to make because there's like aggro exists in all formats. Aggro exists in every limited format, every constructed format. You know, so it's something where you're just, you know, aggro seems easier to figure out, right? And you know, same with control. Control, you know, you need lots of removal, lots of card advantage, and then big finishers, right?
Yeah.
And like, okay, cool. That's totally fine. So you know, it's easier to figure out because it's a traditional something that you've been doing for a long time. Uh-huh. But something like Simic is not something that, you know, a lot of people have a lot of experience with. And so they didn't think about those things. And then you just watched people just basically just like, they're like, oh man, I drafted a sweet Simic deck. And then you build it and you look at it and it's like, their curves all over the place. They don't evolve guys more than twice, you know, which means that their biggest guy is a 3-3 or something, you know, a 3-4 maybe. And then you're just like, well, you're not fucking doing anything. Your deck sucks. Like, you know?
And I guess there's something else interesting that you said is like you open a pack and you find a bomb, right?
Yeah.
But like, let's say the bomb is like a black red bomb, okay?
For sure, yeah.
But the pack doesn't have any good black red cards in it.
Right.
Like, that to me, I would never consider that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would just see like a black red bomb. And I know there's other packs coming. But yeah. Then, like, it's kind of like, it's something that you should at least consider. Like, if you're looking at a pack and you're like, oh, here's this black red bomb, I'm going to take it. But then if the pack is just shitty for black red, then, like...
Yeah, like, you should be considering what you're going to potentially get back so that you can kind of plan around that. The other thing, too, is that, like, maybe taking that black red card is actually the right thing to do because then you're not sending the signal, but you're basically telling people, like, which is, I guess, sending the signal that black red's not open because there's no, like, they're going to get a pack and they're not going to pick.
And there's no that. Black or red there's in no, it. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So, you know, at least for that one pack out of seven or out of eight, you know, at least no one's taking black and red cards out of there. So you can plan accordingly. But again, like, you have to, like, it's planning. You're not just a lot, like, a lot of people don't understand, like, when you're drafting, it's just like building a real deck. You have to have a plan, like, an end goal. You can't just say, like, I'm drafting black and red cards. Do, 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 do. Right? Like, that's, you know, you can't just say, like, you can't just plan that stuff. You can't just say, oh, I want to play a deck that has, you know, Master of Cruelties in it. Mm-hmm. And then what? And then what are you doing? Like, what's your plan? Are you controlling? Are you trying to aggro them out with Master? Like, what are you doing? And, like, well, I don't know. I just put all these fucking cards in a deck. Why doesn't it ever work? Somebody teach me how to build my deck, but don't change any cards, and I want to win. Well, it doesn't fucking work that way. So that's another thing, right? Like... So, like, for me, this format's incredibly difficult for me because I didn't play the original Ravnica, and I don't understand how I'm going to, you know, go into Gatecrash and be drafting shit and then go into Pack 2 and hope, like, oh, man, I hope I'm not fucking Rakdos, like, because if I'm Rakdos going into Pack 2, then I'm probably just fucked.
It sounds like a lot of, there's a lot to it. Like, I think I'm not saying, like, I'm a great deck builder. But I think I can build a deck, like, without a problem. I build my own EDH decks, you know, I've tuned my own decks and stuff like that. But I think all this other stuff, like, not knowing this stuff, makes me, like, separates me from being, like, a good drafter, you know what I mean? Because I don't know, like, about these signals, I don't know about, like, you know, pick orders or, like, just valuing cards in draft, you know, people will be like, oh man, this card is insane in draft, and I just don't know, you know.
Yeah, and you look at it like, this looks like a piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I get it, you know, I get removal is good in draft, you know, I get
fatty. Yeah, obviously, good, obviously. Know, like,
but does it matter, John? You're never playing this, you're never drafting. Drafting's for, I don't know what we called them on
for
that
scrubs.
Show. For assholes.
Yeah, for shitty asshole drafters, I think.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, if I ever do want to hang out with a bunch of pretentious assholes, then I want to be able to kick their ass at drafting. You know
what's funny is that you claim that you don't have any knowledge of all this Luna stuff, but you had a cube. Like, did you just never play your cube?
I played a lot of cube. But to me, like, the cube is different. You know what I mean?
I guess it depends on how your cube is built, but I mean, fundamentally, shouldn't it have been the same thing? Like,
yeah, but like, I guess I was just more, I guess since I did the cube a lot, like, I already knew. Like, and the guys that I cube with, like, I kind of, like, I know those guys, you know what I mean?
Right,
so, like,
right.
I know Eugene is always going to take, like, the Tinker Blightsteel Colossus deck.
Like, everybody knows Rietzel's going to draft Boros.
Yeah, yeah, and so, like, I know, like, so when I see something like that, I'm like, oh, well, here's the Tinker, I'm going to, like, hate this out of Eugene, or, like, here's the, you know, and I have, like, certain, like, propensities for decks that I know, like, I know the archetypes in the cube that I had, you know? Yeah. So I'm just like, oh, I have a propensity for this deck. So if I see, like, one of these three decks is, like, open, or, like, I get access to these cards, I would just draft those to try to put the deck together, you know?
Right.
And so it was kind of like, it was really kind of low level, that kind of stuff, you know? But I guess just knowing the people, knowing the cube, like, I'm much more comfortable with my cube Like, I know what cards are coming around. Like, I've played them before in Cube. Some of them I know are shitty. Some of them I knew were really good. You know? So, like, I just kind of knew that, so that's what I built with, you know? It's like when I play my EDH partners. Like, I know what decks they're bringing. So, like, I tune my decks to be, like, to beat them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, limited is similar to that, right? Like there's fundamental things, but I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, when you draft, when you're drafting early, like, even good drafters, a lot of them are figuring out the format, and then from there, what's happening is you learn archetypes and stuff, right? Somebody figures out an archetype, and then you just draft that. Like, then that's all people are doing. Everyone's just trying to draft that deck, right? Like, remember when what was it?
T was in the mill.
Yeah, like, or like spider spawning. Remember when spider spawning was a deck?
Yeah,
I heard about
right?
that.
And then people were like, oh, these cards are good for spider spawning, or I need to get these cards, or this card's gonna come around, or oh, we didn't get a good spider spawning deck because we failed to pick up that second whatever, right? And it's the same kind of thing. Like, it's not like he's just drafting those colors of decks. He's trying to draft spider spawning. But early in the format, that didn't exist.
Yeah,
someone had to draft it. Like, enough people had to draft it and be like, this is actually a good, like, strategy.
Exactly.
And then other people had to be like, oh, in this strategy, this card is actually really good.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And then again, the pick orders changed again, right?
Yeah, because there's new technology.
New technology.
I'm laughing because, like, Jay's so passionate about teaching Limited, it's insane.
Well, I think the listeners just got, like, a crash course, like,
I'm sure they're just going to bitch. They're going to say, like, they're either going to say, I'm an idiot or I'm full of shit or fucking, oh my God, you guys talked about Limited for fucking ever and you suck it, you are shit, so.
Well, I can tell you one thing. Jay's limited astuteness has served me actually fairly well when I drafted Booze Cube this weekend.
Yeah. And that's when it matters.
That's when it does matter.
I'm going to drink some ice out of my cup so you might hear a little ding-a-ling.
Ding-a-ling. It was my birthday weekend last weekend. And after the
Happy
time...
birthday.
Thank you. After the time spent at the... at the pre-release, apologies, I had to leave early for all of you that were still in line to Gunsling, but I had to go home and have a party and Booze Cube it up. So,
rats.
So, on Jay's advice, since I wouldn't go into something like this without Jay's advice, I ended up drafting a Bug Pirate Ramp deck in my Booze Cube. So, I had three of the Soul Ring lands, which you'll appreciate, Jay.
Yeah.
And two of them were even on color.
Sweet.
I ended up getting Unsightly Growth as well. And this is a new card is from the expansion. It's green 3 sorcery, kicker, drink 5. So it says, search your library for up to 2 basic lands, put them on the battlefield tap, shuffle your library afterwards. If Unsightly Growth was kicked, you may search for basic or non-basic lands.
Holy fuck.
Okay, so that was absurd. But
retarded. Yeah, oh my God.
No, it gets dirtier. So the other non-basic lands that I had in the deck were Red Light District, which is basically sort of like Hall of the Bandit Lord. So it comes into play tapped. It can tap for a mana, or you can pay 2 life and tap it to add 1 to your mana pool. If mana is used to cast a creature spell, that creature gains haste and booze touch till end of turn. I also got Boone's Farm, which is basically like the Keswick Wolf Run of the set. So it taps to add a mana, or X and 3 and tap. Target creature gets X plus O and is intoxicated until end of turn. So, like, that's insane, right? But the dirtiest non-basic land I think that I actually got was called State Street. And I don't know if this is in, like, the regular Booze Cube or the expansion, but it enters the battlefield tapped unless you drink 3. Okay? But then it taps to add a mana. But this is where it gets insane. 4, tap. Search your library for up to 2 basic lands and put them on a battlefield tapped. Like, There's
Scotty
no
loves to ramp.
I'm he, telling you, he loves it. I'm sorry. It was crazy. Like, how do I not take those cards? It was really ridiculous.
Yeah, like ramp's really good when it's open too. Like, we cubed last night, and my buddy drafted mono green ramp, which no one's ever done in my cube before. It's not like it's not there. It is. They just haven't done it. And he like he fucking went to town.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't beat me because like I'm the best, but he beat everybody else. Like, yeah. He just went because
I'm
on
the
everybody.
Best.
But it's funny because like I wanted to be early in green, and I was like I was looking at green to try to stay in there, you know, kind of a, like a green blue deck is sort of where I wanted to be. I ended up getting like Tequila Worm, which is a really huge fucking guy, and I got Towly high as fuck, you know, because like he just feeds the ramp theme, and I ended up drafting Juan the Mind Smasher. I did nice. Get him. He's like yeah. He's like an insane bomb. I also got a few of the blue stuff. Like I got the top guy, and I got the Timber Shiverer, who is like a blue black guy, and it was just pretty sweet. I got a couple other pirates, but like I ended up finding myself like black. The signal came through very early that there weren't a lot of people in black. Like I was telling KYT before the show, like this is the first time playing Booze Cube, so we totally underestimated. Or, like, overestimated, rather. Like, how much drink 10, for example, actually is. Like, drink 10 on a beer is not a lot.
No. Like, people always like, lose it. They're like, oh, my God, drink 10. Oh, my God. And you're like, oh, my God. Like, a beer is, like, 20 to 40 drinks, depending on how much of a vagina you are.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, I'm like, okay. So, like, 10 drinks, I demolish, like, a third of a beer. Like, okay, that's fine. Like, I can do that. Let me tell you, Jay, you're going to shit yourself. I literally got a last pick corporate tube.
Oh, my God. You're obviously drafting with, like, John Medina.
So, like, I got a bunch of pretty sweet cards. Like, I did fairly well, but, like I got the Forceling, you know, which was okay, and he's pretty good. But, you know, I got a lot of the Doomblades. I got the Ice Cream Scoop, which is good, but... One of the engines I had was Go for the Balls, which is an instant destroy target creature can't be regenerated. When you dredge Go for the Balls, take a shot. It has dredge 3. It's an instant.
Right.
So, basically, like, it was pretty sweet, and it was fueling Zombie's Appetizer. And this card is just really retarded. So it's like, this is a game ender, like Waterfall, right? So it's black, black, 2, instant.
I love that we're talking about, like, not actual magic cards. And, like, I have no idea, like... I'm lost when you're talking about limited because I like they're magic cards and maybe I know what they are. But now you're talking about like Booze Cube limited, which I have no idea. Like,
so okay,
I'm lost within being lost right now.
But if you like, consider
which is
this
fine.
Consider
which is
this fine. Card in a vacuum. Okay, consider this card in a vacuum. It's black black 2 instant. Each opponent drinks XX, where X is the number of creatures in your graveyard. Okay. You gain life equal to the total number of drinks consumed. Like, that card is like that's good. That's like, take you right from out of the game and then just like, fuck your face. Like, I'm still in it. It's pretty sweet. So that was, anyways.
And I'm considering that in a vacuum?
Yeah, like, it's it.
Like, how am I supposed to consider that card in a vacuum?
I don't know, it's pretty good. Anyways, it was fun. I had a blast. Like, we had some really, really crazy stuff with the Booze Cube. I was drafting, admittedly, with a bunch of rookies. It's fine. We're going to run it back over 2-4 weekend and see if we can do it properly this time. But what we ended up doing was we had Jello shots. My wife made, like, 120.
Oh, for the shooters.
Yeah! So, like, wife nice. Made, like, 120 Jello shots. And, like, the only thing was like... They were only maybe one third of a shot. Like, they weren't exceptionally strong, but they were good enough. But, like, there's this card which is like black, black 3, take a shot, edict you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an enchantment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, there was somebody that had that card on the table, and they took like 19 Jello shots. And, like, that seemed pretty overpowered.
Yeah.
When you're feeding them Jello shots instead of actual shots.
Did they win or did they pass out?
They were going to win. They were poised to win. And they had some pretty crazy stuff going on. And I guess there's an enchantment that says whenever a creature dies, they have to take a drink.
Right.
Like, when, yeah. So he had, like, an O-Stone on the table. And, like, the drinking O-Stone, whatever the hell it was called. And yeah. he had Eat the Worm, which is an enchantment. This is whenever you take a drink, you you put a worm token on the battlefield. So he had like so many fucking... Anyways, it was crazy. He had a lot of guys. And then he was like, okay, well, I'll pop... Made him pop the stone, and he flashed up again. Anyways, I was out at that point. Unfortunately, everybody at the table decided, oh my god, Scotty's got like 9 mana on turn 4. We need to stop him.
Yeah.
And so I started to get beat down with these like little 2-1 booze touch guys, and I'm like, sweet, take 2, take a drink, take 2, take a drink, like, big deal, like, it's 1 drink, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden I'm at 10, because I'm just like taking incidental damage, and so inevitably my brother ended up just putting me out of the game. Jesus Christ went a really long way in that game.
He's really good.
Oh my god!
He's unkillable.
I can agree with that.
Honestly, like, it was so bad. We got to the point where we're, like, staring over. Donkey ended up, my brother, right, Duncan? He ended up drafting American Frat Boy Control.
Nice.
So, like, he had, like, Jewish American Frat Boy Control. He had both the Jews. He had Walter, Veteran of Nam, and Jesus Christ. And then he had Chad, the Pledge Master, Planeswalker. He had Captain Morgan, the Planeswalker, and he had Chandra, the Planeswalker.
Wow, so and Chandra's a first pick. I first picked her twice.
Yeah. So, like, he built, like, Jewish-American... We tried to come up with names for some of our decks, and he was just like, yep, this is Jewish-American frat boy control. Suck it. And he, like, Jesus Christ was, like, all over the board. Like, he was, like, in and out of the field so many times, and, like, at some point in time, we just turn and we're looking, and we're like, fucking Jesus Christ! It was so funny. We're, like, all cursing at Jesus, and he's just sitting there. It was really funny.
Yeah, cursing at Jesus sounds awesome.
No,
anyways, next topic.
Yeah. So, I had a blast. Like, just the weekend was absolutely amazing. And, but Boost Cube is crazy, Jay. You're absolutely right. Like, we should 100% do a, like, full-on actual cast on Boost Cube.
Yeah, like, I think so, too. And I wish that more people wanted to play it. Like, I've only played it at GP Vancouver, like, the one time, really, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just, it's one of those things you really have to plan for, is its downfall, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like
but
I said,
it's amazing. Like, I'm surprised he's not getting more recognition. Like, he's done so much work on it.
Well, he's on MTG Pro Deals.
That's true.
Yeah. But it's sweet. I'm really proud. Like, I've got it built, and I went through and I, like, cut all of the cards out with, you know, like a ruler and an X-Acto knife, and wow, got them all sleeved, and, you know, it's like I have my Booze Cube box, and it's pretty awesome. Yeah, I'm very, very excited. I'm very proud of the work that I put in, and the game was so much fun. Like, I was actually playing with a bunch of people that don't regularly play Magic, and they all said, yeah, I would totally do this again.
Sweet.
So, like, I mean, that I was
stuck on
was
that, really awesome. Settlers of Catan. You.
That's right!
You fucking piece of shit pseudo game.
Oh, man. That's going to be sweet, the three of us playing the Booze Cube.
Yeah, it will.
But I was laughing because I remember John, when we did 2 straight episodes, he's like, fuck, this Booze Cube shit. What are you guys talking about?
That's pretty much where I'm at right now.
I apologize, dude, but it was just so much fun. Like, it was something I was looking so forward to for birthday weekend, and it ended up running out really, really well. Like I said, so well that we're gonna run it back again. So I'm quite excited. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Sounds like you had an awesome birthday weekend.
Ugh.
Full with lots of magic.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. Like, I posted on Twitter, my wife ended up getting in touch with Polish Smollies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I have an 18 by something, I think it's like a 12 by 18 framed. No, it's more than that. No, it's 18 by something bigger, 18 by 24 maybe, framed picture of our Polish Somalis ensemble token art.
Oh, nice. Wow.
Yeah. So I have that. It's sitting in my basement.
I got to ask, when did you... Did you know already? And no. At what point did you know?
No, I knew when I opened it.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And, like, my wife did a really good job of keeping it a surprise. And then Gary, also a good friend of ours, he ended up getting me my Polish Tamales token art. the He-Man art, and he put it in a smaller frame, and that one's like 12 by 18 or something, and it's hanging up in my office, which is wild.
Okay, I know why I asked you this, because I think some fan or Twitter follow asked you if you actually have the full art, and you said, not yet, ... I think. So I thought you knew that it was coming.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, I knew it was coming because she asked me for Rick's email. So yeah. Props to Rick for getting it done.
Yeah, it was so insane. I just couldn't believe it. I was just sitting there looking at it, and it looked so amazing. And it's so epic. Like, it is so epic. It is. I'm so proud of it because, you know, it really does, you know, speak volumes about all the crap that we've all accomplished together. And, you know, like, there's nothing else that I would be prouder to hang in my man cave, you know?
Oh, yeah, that is epic for sure.
Maybe a Minotaur's dick.
Yeah! with a unicorn's bone sword.
I'd probably take down the picture of the boys to hang up a Minotaur's dick.
Only if I cut it off myself,
though. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. You can't buy that shit.
No. No. But yeah, so it was pretty unbelievably awesome. And yeah, that was sort of how it all wrapped up. It was Boost Cube. So Jay helped me out large there. I drafted a pretty sweet deck, and
Did anybody draft that white lockdown shit I was telling you about?
No, so it ended up I actually looked for it, and there were a bunch of cards that I drafted to try to make it work, but then I just got cut on it. Like, my brother, who was drafting to my right, he ended up taking a bunch of them, and then the guy that was drafting to my left took a bunch of them too. So, like, I got, like, cut on both ends on it.
Right. That's unfortunate, because I was hoping somebody would, because it's sweet, but...
Yeah, I ended up getting the Camel Toe, and I ended up getting the one where, like, they can't untap, except for Drinking Four or whatever.
Yeah. But, like, Walk of Shame, I think it's called.
Yeah, but there was just, like, I couldn't play any of them. There were so many creature wraths that ended up happening. Right. And like, between that and, like, millions of shots for fucking Jello, like, Zaka guy, like, the creatures just didn't last long.
No.
The one regret I do have is I kind of, like, I first picked the white Sol Ring land over Belushi Crusher of Cans. And I think that was a problem.
I don't remember any of these cards.
Yeah.
And Jay's like,
Yeah, I don't, like, I don't, I think that was a mistake. And, like, that was clearly one of the bad picks that I made. But I was looking to try to pick up all those lands early and then go from there. I just forgot that I was actually pitching to my left to a somewhat accomplished drafter. And, yeah, he totally snap picked that one. So, it is what it is. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Lots of run back. My son is actually going to draft with us and play, but I've instructed him that he needs to have a designated drinker, because otherwise, like, he'll just play all of the tax cards where he's like, yep, drink six, go, bitch, I'm going to play this effect. You know, so it's pretty sweet, pretty exciting. So he's got a designated drinker lined up, and we're going to have some fun. So get at me if you're local and want to play Booze Cube. The wife's going out of town, so... Booze Cube.
Yeah.
Get at me.
Chicka chicka. KYT, tell us about your trip.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
It was a family. It was a family trip.
It was a family thing.
No magic. No Magico.
No Magico. It was a family thing, and I felt like, you know, it's I'm almost at the point where I'm gonna get tied down at some point and want to travel just with my girlfriend. So
how old are you now?
I'm like 35. No.
I was like, you're gonna get to that point? You're like fucking 40, man. Holy shit. You gotta fly out of the nest, bro.
Oh man.
I mean, it's complicated because my girlfriend's parents won't let us travel alone before marriage.
Why not? Because they're afraid that
because they'll fuck.
You're gonna ninja her.
Jay straight up just says, because they'll fuck.
And then after he's done, he's gonna be like,
that was easy.
So it's gonna be a while. And so this is one of the last trips, like me, my sister, my dad, and my mom. Just one family, and my mom loves these trips because it brings her back to all the times that we have those road trips. So just us, and my mom actually, you know, loves to play blackjack, so Las Vegas is actually perfect for her. Not so much my dad. My sister likes to shop and watch the show, so it works out for her. And long story short, for Vegas was, you know, I ended up cleaning house. As Scott mentioned, in the first episode, I was gone. I ended up winning $1,100. So,
whoa! You actually listened to the show while you were gone?
Yeah.
What did you think of the show while you were gone?
I think there was a lot of. I only listened to the first one. There was a lot of Scott bashing. Like Scott would be like, "This card, I think this card." Like, my favorite one was the lobotomy card. Everyone's like, "No, fuck no!" And it's like, you know what? There's a chance that it might, you know. So you guys just didn't give him a chance at all.
Yep, we didn't. So how did you feel about that? Did you feel did you feel like you wanted to be there to protect him and like kind of like keep the show on track, or was it?
Well, not really, because that particular card I agreed with you guys.
So. While traveling, he's owning you.
BDM thinks that it's a Michael J. Flores card, so take that as you.
I mean, I thought it was. It's just too. There's just too many conditions. Unless you just to finish up my thoughts on it, it's like unless you can. You play a deck with bounce, I guess, so that you could like bounce a threat back, and then you can cranial their whole
this
thing.
This is no recoil, sir.
Yeah, so it's like I don't know, but it was a lot of fun. I saw Chris Angel for the second time.
Nice. How was that?
Wow.
That was good. But his bread and butter, for those of you who might want to see his show, his bread and butter is really. Him switching places with another person, with a female, and many of his effects out of his set is that type of effect. So if you're easily bored by repetition, then I wouldn't recommend. Like David Copperfield does a more varied, with more variety of effects. Like instead of just like two people switch, and then at some point you just see it coming, so you might get bored of that. But you know, I'm a fan of his, so I decided to support him and bring my family, who hasn't seen him at all.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they think of him? Like, have you put on a bunch of magic shows for your family, and now they see Chris Angel? Like, what did they say?
I think, I have an impression that my dad thought David Copperfield was just, like, we went to Vegas 4 years ago, us four together, and I feel like they felt, my dad at least, felt Copperfield was more skilled. When it came to live, but my mom was blown away by Copperfield and Chris Angel.
Cool.
But my dad wasn't really convinced by some of Chris's stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Like he thought he was sloppy in certain things and felt like he saw like, well, we all think like we can see through shit, right? Like we all assume the method sometimes, but yeah, he wasn't as impressed with him as he was with Copperfield. So. And I think the reviews, like for Chris Angel's show, is actually pretty bad online versus the other show.
Wow.
Yeah, despite his fame and his insanely hit TV show that he had. Then I went to San Francisco and L.A., and those were fine. I was in L.A. when they had the Iron Man premiere, and I wish that I could just, like, get in somehow. But I could see Robert Downey Jr. from, like, a distance away.
What? And, like, sweet. Yeah. I would have had the giantest boner.
It's Tony Stark!
Oh, man, that's fucking sweet.
San Francisco is beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
John, have you been there a lot?
I've been there a handful of times. My family, we used to sell food. At a Christian music festival in Monterey, which is like not far from San Francisco. So like after the festival, we would always like go over to like San Francisco, and we would go to like Santa Cruz and that kind of thing. And I went up there for my honeymoon to Monterey. So me and my wife went to San Francisco. We went to like near woods in near San Francisco and stuff like that.
Yeah, I thought Montreal was a good tourist place, but like their Chinatown is. At least 10 times bigger than ours. Their what I like, what we call the old port in Montreal, which is where like street performers perform. I mean, there's just way more street performers, way more different restaurants and shops in San Francisco. It just like made like me feel like what I have here is shit. So it's kind of eye-opening. I'm like, this Chinatown's like the Toronto one is pretty big, but San Francisco is like insane. It was absolutely insane. So
it's insane.
The only memorable funny thing that happened was going to Universal Studios in LA.
Yeah.
We took one of those tram tours that like took us around like different sets. Like where they film like Desperate Housewives and different type of shit. We waited 25 minutes and then we realized that my sister saw a sign that said the ride was an hour long. And so I'm sitting next to my sister and behind us is like a couple and I can hear the guy complaining about how long it is. He's like, this is fucking bullshit. It's been 30 minutes. Like, how long is this ride? And he's with his girlfriend. I'm like, whoa, like, how does she put up with this guy? And all he does is bitch, like nonstop. Like, when is this ride over? And I just felt like telling him, dude, it's actually an hour long. But
dude, it's an hour. You're here with your girlfriend. Just chill out, bro. But where are you gonna go? Where are you gonna be, bro? I
realized that he was complaining because he really had to go take a leak.
Oh, is that one?
Yeah. So he's like, oh shit. He's like, man, I'm just gonna, I gotta get off this. Like, and you can't just get off and jump on like these places that they might be filming in. And the girlfriend's like, calm down. Contact. I was like, I can't. You don't understand. And it looks like he's about to like take off his pants. No. It looks like he's grabbing like his pants and like he's about to take it off or something. And his girlfriend's like, no, don't do that here. Don't do this to me. And we're sitting in front, right?
So it's like, oh my god.
Is he gonna like piss all over us or something? Like we're sitting.
He's
right
just gonna take a fucking piss like everywhere.
So you're in front of him.
Yeah, we're sitting in front of him, and we're like, what the fuck? And then, at this point, I think it's his breaking point. Like, he's going, and the tram enters, like, this dark cave, and it goes pitch black.
And then you hear,
and I'm like, fuck. We leave the cave, the ride's finally over, I see him get off, and then, like, all I see is his pants are just like soaking.
Oh my god!
Wow!
Like, fuck! And he's slowly. Well, was freaking out because I'm like, man, he better not fucking piss on me. So, but my sister apparently was like so captured by the set, she was just completely oblivious to everything. Like, she didn't hear anything, like anything. So I'm like, okay. But that was one of the more memorable moments of the trip.
Wow, that's sweet. Pretty memorable. That sounds awesome.
And what was interesting was the buffet in Hollywood. It's called the Vegas Seafood Buffet that was recommended to me by one of my tweeps, Sean, is a lot better than the buffets we tried in Vegas. So that was great. So definitely check out the Vegas Seafood Buffet if you're in LA. I would definitely do that.
Sweet.
All in all, it was fun.
Man, I could have gave you some place to go in LA, but they were not like, you know, they're definitely not upscale fancy places, you know? There's this place called Jim's, and it's in Pico Rivera, which is like, it's in LA, you know, but it's kind of like on the outskirts. And this place, Jim's, serves this thing called a DUI. And what it is freaking French fries with carne asada, which is like...
Carne asada.
it's marinated and cooked steak, right? That's what carne asada is. Whoa. So it's fries with carne asada. Okay. And then on top of the carne asada, you have chili. Okay. Chili and cheese. Okay. And then on top of that, you have pastrami and then more chili and cheese. And that is a DUI. It's insane, man. it's so good.
I'll definitely have to check it out if I ever go back there. The downside is their Chinatown is shit. It's basically absolute dead. Like, just like, what the fuck? It's just old Chinese people dirtling around.
Dirtling.
Like, everything closed at like 6 p.m. Like, so LA wasn't outside of like the Hollywood. Like, we went to Chinatown, it was disappointing. We went to Koreatown. They have like the separate place with all these Korean stuff. Yeah. Wasn't as impressed as I was in San Francisco. So, but
sick.
Fine.
So you're gonna tie that into Magic somehow?
No,
no.
It's like my first crazy.
Just fuck movies. It.
Here's your San Francisco City review.
I met a fan and he said, "Hey, are you?" No.
Yeah, man, the freaking fan. The fans. I love the fans, man. I do love the fans.
I wonder if, like, the high-pitched fan was influenced by... Because I took... in LA, I took a Simpsons ride, and they showed the high-pitched guy from The Simpsons, and it just reminded me...
The high-pitched fan?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, the nerdy, high-pitched guy.
Mr. Anderson!
Exactly.
I dropped your taco in the deep fryer. Yeah, we'll go in and get it out. Oh, I don't think I'm supposed to do that.
You got him down, Jay.
That was good. So I don't have any Magic related content.
You're not like excited for EDH or for like Standard with the new cards or anything?
I'm excited for Standard. I want your thoughts, John.
I can't wait to play Standard. This looks like it's going to be so much fun moving forward.
Yeah, I don't know about the Standard. I don't know. This set is definitely going to shake things up. I kind of want to see what happens before I get all like brutastic on this Standard stuff. I kind of like nowadays. I just like going to like FNM and crushing the FNM with like whatever the like sick Standard deck is. I don't really brew in Standard. I more brew like with like Legacy, or I'll brew with like EDH, you know. And for EDH, I definitely have like auto include this Plasm Capture.
It's
auto include in Zagana. And then like Notion Thief is really interesting in EDH because of the people who plays the Consecrated Sphinx, like obnoxious assholes. So I definitely wanna have a copy of Foil Notion Thief for that.
Doesn't that also seem really good with like cards like obviously Windfall and stuff like that, but you know, also like Brain Geyser, Prosperity, like those sorts of effects too?
Yeah, it's definitely good with anything that makes your opponents draw cards. But like I hate decks like that though, you know, where you're like you all rely, like if you don't draw your Notion Thief, you know?
Yeah.
Then it's just kinda like you just have a deck where you like make everyone draw cards, you know? So yeah, I'm not like, I do want the Notion Thief to like battle like what's it called, decks, you know, Sphinx's Revelations and stuff like that, because people draw like an absurd amount of cards, you know. So like EDH stuff, that's the kind of stuff I have my eye on, you know. Opstat's Aid is kind of interesting to me because it returns a permanent. The next EDH deck that I probably am going to build is going to be a Maze's End EDH deck.
Oh god, you're going to do that? That's awesome.
Yeah, because you can use that thing where you copy the ability, Rings of Brightearth, so you can like double like ramp with that, and then you just use things that go and get non-basic lands. So, I'm interested in building a deck around that. I like things that just win the game, you know.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I'm actually in the process of building two EDH decks myself. The first one is Maelstrom Wanderer, which is the rug-colored guy that all your creatures have haste, and you cascade when you cast him. You cast, like, costs, like, 8. It's a monster. So I'm looking to build that. The other one is...
That card's obnoxious. It's fun.
It costs like 7 or 8 to play.
It's 8.
Which takes Scotty to cast, like, it's like turn 4 he's casting it. Because he drafts the shit out of it. It's fucking awesome.
Like, yeah, like, that's going to be that deck. But
I've seen, just some feedback. I seen somebody one time with that card go, like, into, like, basically Pestermite, Kiki Jiki, or whatever. They cascade both of those out and then won the game.
Well, obviously, I'm not going to be that dick.
Yeah, it was retarded. It was awesome, but it was...
But the other one I'm actually building is, and it's something I've never done, is I'm going to build a Kalia deck.
Okay, that's what I'm building.
Are you? Like Kalia of the Vast?
Yeah, didn't we talk about this?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we talked about both of these.
Yeah, but... I said that I was going to build like this uber-fast Kalia deck.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. There's like
He's jacking my ideas, man.
There's a bunch of really sweet guys that have come out in Dragon's Mace that seem pretty good and that are like dirt cheap now over the last couple sets that I never
picked
up.
Like, who came out in Dragon's Mace for the Kalia deck?
Hold on. Let me just take a look at what I actually ordered from your website this week.
Yeah, you had like a million orders, man.
I had one order. I got a bunch of pre-orders that you have to ship. But
yeah, that's what I'm talking about, pre-orders.
Yeah. Hold on.
Ever since I gave you the free bro shipping.
Well, I mean, like, you're just going to put them all in one fucking pack anyway. So, of course. Like,
I still have to pay for that shit, bro.
Oh, to put all of the orders into the same package? Come on.
Yeah, man.
Quit complaining.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
Dance, monkey, dance. No, you know what? No, it's stuff that I haven't gotten. Like, I'm finally getting, like, there's an Aurelia, which I've never gotten, a Lord of the Void from Gatecrash, which I'm going to try, Thundermaw Hellkite I'm finally getting one of, things like that.
Oh, that's not a good card for Kalia.
Thundermaw Hellkite? No, it's terrible.
Yeah, Thundermaw Hellkite.
It's terrible. Is. Terrible card.
It's terrible, man. It's terrible. You want something like, you want Angel Serenity?
Yeah,
you,
got that.
You want the demon that tutors?
Got that.
Freaking, you know, you want some high impact.
But you gotta have all those cards. You have that Rakdos demon too.
The Rakdos demon that when you hit them, they sacrifice like half their non-demon permanents.
My brother did that a lot. Instead, I'm playing the other Rakdos Lord of Riots.
What? That sucks, bro.
Like, turn 3, half your shit? Like, that's so bad.
Oh, man, you're probably going to put Abyssal Persecutor in there, too, right?
No, not Persecutor. No. Sizen Perverter Truth for sure, though. That guy's a bomb. Anyways, I'm pretty excited. I can't wait to get this together. It'll be neat. It's something I've never done, so it'll be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think it's a sick deck. It's sweet for me, the reason I was building it, because I built that guy, that red-white land destruction deck.
Yeah.
And destroys me with that deck, but the best way to beat land destruction easy in EDH is to just play threats.
Yeah.
And like, if you just play like a Kalia and they like blow up the lands, like, who gives a shit, right?
Yeah, you're just cheating shit in all day.
Just drop stuff in.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, I did have a successful stream this week. Ran a pretty sweet stream with Shaheen Surani. It was pretty awesome. We ran some Esper, cleaned a bunch of 2-man queues out. It was pretty awesome.
Really?
Yes, surprise of absolutely no one. But it was good. It was actually, he was amazing on the show. He did a really good job of kind of starting to explain, you know, play lines and decision making and stuff. And that was exactly what we want to accomplish with the stream. So it was awesome. So if you guys are playing, you know, any sort of Esper in Standard and you guys want to watch that, you should check out the legit MTG Twitch channel. I actually, while I was streaming, none other than A-Team semi-regular AJ Soccer jumped into the stream.
Oh, wow. Popular.
What can I tell you, right?
Yeah.
And AJ agreed. So AJ, I don't know if you guys know this, but like, is fresh off a unfortunate loss in the semifinals of the most recent Standard PTQ on Moto.
I heard about that.
So he has agreed to come on and do some Junk Rights action.
Oh, sweet.
For next week. So we're going to run Junk Rights with his PTQ list. I've got a short list of changes. And I don't know, like, I mean, you guys have been around forever, you know, but I mean, like, AJ has always come off as potentially such an unbelievable teacher if you get him in the right environment. Like, if you guys have watched AJ TV at all, like, he's got such an analytical mind for this. I'm very, very excited about this opportunity.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds super sweet. Interesting. I'd love to pick his brain about what Dragon Maze cards he wants to put into Junk Rides, because I think, like, Sin Collector might be one of those cards that I was looking at. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. So it's pretty sweet. So tune in and you will check out AJ and I talking some shit and bashing some face on Monday night at 9:30.
Monday night.
Monday night. Monday, Monday, night. Monday.
Monday, Monday, Monday.
Yeah. So it's pretty awesome.
Wait, what day is it again?
Monday.
Monday.
So come out and check that out. We've got all the new graphics and all the new show, and it's pretty sweet. So my article just posted on it's Thursday night to Friday, so my article's just up on the Shaheen Run, and you guys can check that out over at legitmtg.com.
yeah, man.
Cam.
You can just you can check out his streams in the article is the stream, so it's like, whoa.
Yeah, so if you missed it, don't cry, it's there.
Yeah, it is there, so don't cry. I'm gonna watch that shit.
You should. It was really good. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. So, and yeah, so super huge thanks to everybody that was in the stream, and post some comments and you can win some shit.
Yeah, man. We'll give you shit.
Give you shit. Also, didn't we just launch like another contest?
Oh man, yeah, this is actually pretty sweet.
And you should talk about this.
I can say it's really sweet because I didn't come up with it. And so Heather came up with this super cool idea, and Heather comes up with a million ideas every day. So it's like a stream of ideas in my inbox, and I'm trying to keep up with them all the time. But this idea I was really excited about. Basically, what we're doing is there's these 10 guild champions from Dragon's Maze. Like, I don't even know what all 10 of them are. You know what I mean? Like, what are they? Like, the troll that makes you scavenge is one. What's the other one? Yeah, there's just like, I don't even know what they are. I know the token one, the guy who, the big old controversy, the one that says tokens don't take damage. That guy's one of them. You know, the guy who puts counters on things. The blue-red guy who is basically like a future site for instants and sorceries. So anyways, all of these guild champions in Dragon's Maze, the contest is this. You build an EDH deck out of one of these guild champions. So you make a deck around them, and then you submit your list to us, and we have four judges. Scott is one of the judges. Correct, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm one of the judges. Heather's one of the judges. And then we have Cassidy, who writes for us and writes for Star City about Commander. He's also one of the judges. And what we're going to do is we're going to pick four people who win.
So when you submit your list, you have to decide which judge you want to submit it to.
Yeah, and nobody has picked me yet because they're all a bunch of scaredy cats.
I haven't gotten any yet either.
Well, I don't know. You might have.
Oh, maybe. I just haven't seen them yet.
Yeah, yeah. No, they're not coming to us directly.
Oh, okay.
They're coming to the editor. But I've checked them because, you know, I can do that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But nobody has come to me yet. So basically what you do is you build an EDH deck around one of these generals, you submit it, and then you pick one of us to judge it. And then we'll judge, you know, which one's the best. And then that person will win a guild leader of their choice in foil. So, like, basically, like, if you win and you want this, like, troll in foil or this red-white guy who's indestructible, like, we'll send it out. And then one winner will get $50 in store credit so you can, like, raid the coffers and get cards for your deck.
So it's pretty sweet. I'm pretty excited to see all of these different commander lists come in.
So yeah, I've been trying to get a lot of products so that I can actually get these foils. I have 7 of the 10 right now, and so I just need 3 more to actually offer this price.
I'm sure worst case we'll figure it out. That's
oh no, we'll be fine. I'll buy one off Star City for you. Yeah. it becomes that bad. Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty awesome. So send in your lists. Like Jonathan, like Medina is like total. Oh, are you serious? You had that edited out?
What?
You're a dick.
What?
Oh no, there it is. Okay.
Why didn't you say I had it out like accusing me like of like conspiring?
It wasn't capitalized. It was intentionally supposed to be capitalized. So there are four different obviously the judges are looking for different things or kind of lean towards different proclivities. So, you know, Medina is the total spike, just looking to crush your opponents. I love engine-y synergistic decks. Heather loves, you know, fun decks, and Cassidy loves just sort of like put it all together. So
he's gonna be like, Cassidy is more like plays probably more EDH than all of us. So
yeah,
he's gonna be the one who's like, is this really competitive in EDH? You know,
is it actually good?
Yeah. I'm gonna be the one like, is it gonna win, and how fast can you win games? And Scott's going to be like, how much ramp is in this deck? And Heather's looking for fun decks. Like, she built a circus EDH deck. I don't know if that's actually public knowledge yet, but have you seen the circus EDH deck she built?
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's hilarious. There's, like, spire mare in it for a circus animal.
I don't know. Like, all the jesters circle. Yeah, all the jesters artifacts, yeah, too, right?
It's crazy. So,
I was like, you need to play Trading Post to go with those jesters artifacts.
Yeah. So if you want to impress Heather, you got to build something fun, funny, and interesting, you know? If you want to impress me, don't build that shit, because I'm going to be like, get that out of here. Where's the tooth and nail?
And where are the two combo creatures to instantly play with them? But it's pretty awesome. I want to make sure that I say a huge thank you to everybody that sent off some awesome love this week. Travis Hall, 456 on Twitter, from the Horde of Notions show. That guy deserves a special shout-out. Durfington, awesome job playing me this weekend. Durfington and I actually had like a best-of-three match. He played his Legacy Blue-White Miracles deck against my standard Jund list. And in three games, I made him my bitch.
Woo!
So
fucking Legacy!
That's what I'm saying. Standard is pretty good when you can, like, slaughter games away all the Force of Wills. All I'm saying.
You're so terrible, Durf.
For Liliana! So I good!
That slaughter games the Force of Wills and not, like, the win condition. That's the sweetest.
Well, he was doing pretty well at diversifying them. Like, he had Entreat the Angels, and he had Helm and Rest in Peace. So it's like, which piece do you pick? Right? Anyways.
I mean, probably Entreat the Angels, because you have Abrupt Decays.
Right, but where I was at with it was that I knew that I was just going to be able to kill him. Like, if I can just resolve my shit and he can't stop me, like, there's no way he's going to counter fours and fives with counterbalance.
Yeah, but he's like, only got, like, four Force of Wills, man. Like, the way that Jund is, like, it's going to overload him. Like, Legacy decks are not used to dealing with high threat density.
Like, that's true.
You know, Legacy decks are mostly spells and then some threats. So they're, like, it's like a gentleman's agreement not to play a bunch of threats. And, like, and that's why, like, with my Bant Blade deck, I just play all threats. I take the Force of Wills are in the sideboard. Yeah. So, like, I just, like, okay, Stoneforge Mystic. They're like, oh, Force of Will. I'm like, okay, sweet. Untap, Geistus Aintrap. I'll counterspell it. Okay, sweet. Untap, you know, friggin' another Geist or another Stoneforge or, like, something else. And then they're like, okay, that resolves. Jace the Mind Sculptor. Okay, it resolves. And it's like, yeah, because you ran out of counterspells, dumbass. Like, and now you have a Nimble Mongoose that's a 1-1. Like, sweet. I'm going to brainstorm with my Jace and win the game.
Nice. So I have, so Jay, I need to ask you your opinion. I actually have one more event. I'm going out tomorrow night for like a pseudo release event where we are going to be able to do, like they've still got leftover sealed deck product. So what exact deck comp, like two guild combination should I pick for this event? Because I have the luxury of being able to do that again.
What a boss. Jay?
Jay? Hello?
Bob?
Bab? Oh, what's going on here?
Guess he's not there.
All right, so what do you think, KYT?
Well, I've only drafted, but I did want to ask you, Scott.
Yeah.
Did they give you, like, a little box like they did last time, or...
No, it's not like a whole big box. It was like this small little plastic, like a very small little cheap plastic box that just held all the boosters and everything all together. So like on the front was always the Return to Ravnica Guild, and on the back was always the Gatecrash Guild. So like they had, the one thing that was really sweet is they had these little guild cards in it, and I don't know whether that was exclusive to Dragon's Maze because I didn't play in the first two pre-releases, but like they've got these cards that are the same size as like a token or whatever, but it's got the big guild symbol on it, and they look really hot. Like, I got pins and cards. Like, so I've got a Simic card, an Azorius card, a Boros card, an Izzet card, and then I was also then given a Rakdos Orzhov? No, Rakdos... I was given one more guild pack before I left.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't remember what it was. A Rakdos something or other. But, Rakdos Boros, I think. Yeah, that sounds about right. So I've got a couple extra Boros packs. But, like, those are awesome.
Yeah,
and I got a couple pins also, so that was cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to tell you what... we need Jay's advice. I like, if I ended up playing instead of trying to get in a good seat for Iron Man 3 tomorrow, then I'll need to know.
Yeah.
Jay?
What?
Oh, God, you're there! I asked you, like, three questions, and you didn't answer me.
No, I was AFK.
Oh, I didn't see AFK on the screen. Sorry about that. So,
that's because he didn't put it there, by the way.
So I have one more event. I'm going to a release event tomorrow. And I'm going to have it's like, because they still have sealed product left. And I will have the luxury once more of choosing the two guilds that I want to use for this sealed event. What is your best advice for me in terms of the two guilds that I should pick?
What is the best two guilds?
Yeah.
Hmm. And you get to pick them?
Yes. Both of them. So currently the Twitter poll says that I should pick either Rakdos Gruul.
Yeah.
Or Selesnya Orzhov.
I think Gruul is definitely one of them. I think I would rather play Rakdos Gruul. I mean, like the problem with picking the guild combinations is like they're all random magic Christmas lands, right? Like you're never gonna get every card that you need or whatever. But like I played Boros Rakdos and I didn't play aggro at all. I just played a mid range deck and I ended up opening a lot of removal. So I played a mid range deck with lots of removal, and then that's how I ended up doing well. Like, you know, I didn't end up going like crazy aggro like everybody thought Rakdos Boros would be, right?
Yeah.
So I think like Gruul Rakdos would be fine. You want to get like your red and black removals, and then you're gonna be able to just like power all your guys through, right?
Yeah. Okay.
If it was my choice, like maybe Selesnya Gruul, or like can you mix and match? Like could you go Gruul Boros if you wanted?
No. Okay. No, it has to be like the legitimate the actual sealed packs,
the
yeah.
format. Yeah.
Yeah, but I get any sealed pack that I want.
Right.
So. Did you see any Dimir packs opened?
No.
Okay. Because I was wondering how you feel about Rakdos Dimir. Like, you think it's like the worst thing ever?
Yep.
Okay. Noted.
Yeah, like, I don't know why anyone would ever play that. Like, on the off chance that you get, I don't know, like, what, all the black removal, I guess? Like, why would you play Rakdos Dimir? I don't know. Like, what's the positive there? What are you looking for?
I figured there's removal and evasive guys. Like, it seems worthwhile. That's
yeah.
all. But no, I think... No, you know cool. what? So I'm going to try... So I had a lot of success with drafting Gruul at when we were at the Pro Tour. So I can totally get behind, like, a Rakdos Gruul strategy.
Yeah, I think it's powerful. Like, you got your, like, hopefully what you're getting is, like, really fast guys and removal from the Rakdos side of it. And then you're getting, like, Blood Rush guys so that your little guys don't get outclassed later.
Yeah. And even if you need to just play the Blood Rush guys as guys, you've got that option as well.
Yeah. Like, that 4-mana 3/3 that is just a giant growth.
He's really good.
That guy's really good. I think that guy's an amazing card.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay. Well, then that's what we'll do. Rakdos Gruul, look out.
Sweet.
Lamo.
Jund up in this biatch. Sweet. Well, I guess since John is begging for a shotgun to ease the burning on his face.
Hey, I've been a freaking good sport this whole episode, but we
talked about
limited for like an hour and a fucking half.
You didn't fucking play any Magic this week. You don't have the right to pitch.
You can suck it.
It's not like it would matter if I played any Magic this week.
It would.
We'll talk an hour and a half about
limited. You have something to talk about, you fucking twat. And you're asking us questions.
Yeah.
Actually, you know
what,
John?
It was a good sport, but then we talked about Booze Cube, and now we're
back. Oh, yeah.
Another 25 minutes about Boros Guild, whatever. Like, I'm just like, who fucking cares? I mean, the sealed format is done. It's over, man.
It's almost done. All right. Well, does anyone have anything else they want to add then before we, like, call this a night?
I do not.
Oh. Nope. I had one other thing I wanted to add.
Is it about limited?
Yeah, it is, yeah. No, it's about this guy. I'm sure I've told you guys about the guy that got banned for 18 months for cheating.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that guy's name is Nathan Noel. He also is a fucking thief, so fuck that guy.
What happened?
Okay, so, like, basically what happens is all of my friends, so this is, like, Derek and Chris and CJ and Cass and Russ, and I'm just going to name all these motherfuckers because they're just being bitches. They all talk, like, a really big game. They're all, like, really big talkers like every other Magic player, right? And basically this Nathan guy got caught cheating, and he got, like, basically he's been stealing from people forever, but, like, no one has any real proof except for things like, you know, I'm missing a Tarmogoyf, and then he's like, oh man, I just bought a pack and had a Tarmogoyf in it. I'm like, oh yeah, what store did you buy it from? And like, oh, I bought it from Dick's Collectibles. And then, you know, Dick's Collectibles hasn't had Future Sight packs since, you know, 5 years ago. You know, just things like that. So anyway, they all know he's a cheater and a thief, but they won't call him out on it, and they keep hanging out with him, and they keep, you know, allowing him to be around even though he's banned and all this, just all this shit, right? Where he just basically is getting a free pass and so he's not learning anything. So recently he was at my friend Derek's house, and he mentioned to Derek that, I don't know why, but for some reason he wanted I think it's Might of Old Carosa. Is that a card?
Yeah, that's for the insect
deck. Yeah, he's like, I need Might of Old Carosas or whatever. And Derek's like, oh, I have some, but I'm like, you can't have them. I need them for a deck. And then he's like, oh, okay, well, too bad. I'll just have to pick some up later. Then, like, an hour later, he went to the bathroom, and Derek decided to, like, not search through his bag, but just, like, his bag was open, and decided to look in his bag, like, with his eyes, but not touch anything kind of idea, you know what I mean? Like, to make sure the search, and seizure was legit, right?
Yeah, yeah. Just kind of like give some angles, kind of get.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Like exactly. Right. He's not touching anything. It's not. Yeah. You know, he doesn't need a warrant, but he's looking in the windows and seeing dead bodies, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he happens to notice. Oh, look! There's four, you know, Might of Old Carosas just sitting right there, just tossed in the bag, not in a box, not in a deck box, not anywhere, and like, oh man, I wonder why he needed those. Oh, I wonder where mine are. Oh, I can't find mine. How interesting is that? And you know, I mean, this is all perspective. Like, I obviously don't have physical proof. Yeah. I wasn't there. I don't know if this guy fucking is a thief or not. But he stole from me. He stole from Brian Zamba. He's stolen from basically every person that knows him. He's a cheater. Like, he's banned for 18 months. And then, yeah, recently that Tarmogoyf story was something that actually happened. So there was a guy that was at Dick's Collectibles, which is a store that is in Calgary. And he's like, oh man, like, I'm missing a Tarmogoyf. That really sucks. And then 5 minutes later, Nathan comes in and is like, oh man, I bought a pack of Future Sight at Dick's and I opened a Tarmogoyf. Isn't that fucking sweet, bros? And then, yeah, Dick's doesn't sell that. Like, they don't sell those packs. They didn't sell anything to Nathan. Like, they confirm this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, so fuck that guy.
Shout out to that guy.
Yeah, stop hanging out with him. Stop letting him think that this is okay. Like, the only way that the community is going to get better and that this kid is going to learn is if you stop allowing this to go on. Absolutely fucking stop. There is no reason why you need to be nice to this person at all. And, like, the thing is, like, if you're friends with him and you're letting him hang out with you and test and play Magic and everything, first of all, I don't know why. It's probably because you're just a big sap and you feel sorry for this kid, which is totally fine. Feel sorry for him all you fucking want then. But then, at the same time, this kid's just stealing from you. Like, how long are you going to put up with that shit? You know?
Yeah.
Do something about it.
Do something about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that fucking crazy?
It's not crazy. It's very common that people do that kind of stuff, you know?
No, but I think it's crazy that they're just, like, letting it go on, you know?
Yeah. I agree with you that they should let this kid know that it's wrong.
Well, thank you, Jay, for that awesome
public
report.
Service announcement.
Public service announcement. That's what I was looking for.
Just whatever. Just, like, I think just absolutely just fuck that guy. Like, there's no reason why people should put up with that in the community. People are talking about, like, misogyny and all this other shit. Like, holy fuck. Two sides of the same sword here, people. Let's go.
Yeah.
I lose so much respect for people when they're like that. Like these people are my friends, and I have a hard time respecting them and thinking them as real people when they're just putting up with this. Like, that's retarded. Don't tolerate that shit. Like, grow a fucking backbone, my god.
Tell them where to go, folks. Tell them where to go. All right, well, I guess with that, we'll wrap this shit up.
Yeah.
All right. On that note,
thank you, everyone, for coming out, and we will see you all next week. We do have an actual Pro Tour player, like, eligible Pro Tour player testing with team coming on the show next week. You have heard of him once or twice, I'm sure. He's promised that he's turned over a better leaf, and we'll see.
Sick.
So yeah, well, so unfortunately we're going to talk a little bit more limited, John, but we're also going to talk some block, and I'm sure that what you should at least do is anything that is said on the cast next week, you should make sure that you send right over to your legit MTG team, because they could probably use all the help they could get. That's... Love you guys. Good luck. All right, well, without further ado then, we'll see you all next week.
Bye, everyone.
Peace.
Peace. That sounds like you're licking your fingers. That's a promising sign.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys can start. I can just swallow.
You say I could just swallow?
Yeah.
You guys start, I could just swallow?
That should be the thing. That should be the...
That's exactly... Kyle, make it happen.
I even had my mouth full there. That's pretty funny.